Los Angeles, summer 2009. I knew he was waiting for me, stretched out on his long leather couch, the back of his wrist pressed to his third eye, his elbow a pale antenna searching for my signal. I stepped on the gas. It was all too easy to drive away from my life and the book I was trying to write about what happened to me in high school. I turned north on Rossmore and the Ravenswood came into view. The 1930s Art Deco landmark announced itself from half a mile away in red vintage neon. The N and the D in the sign were burned out, so it read, "The Raveswoo." And I thought, that was the perfect name for what Sam Spade did in that old building, beneath those sputtering neon tubes. Rave and woo. Spade never suffered writer's block. Books poured out of him. "Imitate the virtue you wish to achieve," he told me, which meant sit down and work. I knew what that looked like. It looked like my father hunched over his IBM Selectric, cigarette ash between the keys, cold coffee in his mug, firing off movie reviews and film biographies like a turret gunner. It wasn't work I was afraid of. It was the story itself. The story of what happened to me in high school. Every time I probed it for some hilarious anecdote about my bad girl past, it spat venom at me. It hissed truths at me that I didn't want to face, much less describe on the page. The whole thing was terrifying, and running into the arms of a predator I barely knew felt like a safer plan, or at least a familiar one. My interest in my painful past was no match for the fascination of the present with Sam Spade. The electric crackle over the building's intercom evoked a Pavlovian response in my cunt. All I wanted these days was this moment, the moment when I was about to see him again. Sam Spade, author, Lothario, famously sober, son of a murdered woman. The Ravenswood had an ancient sarcophagus of an elevator that moved too slowly, so I took the wide, smooth stairs two at a time, the wrought iron railing slipping beneath my damp palm. The halls were dimly lit and reeked of microwaved meats and Bubba Kush. As I approached the third floor, the smell shifted. A distinct twang of coffee crept in. As I walked down the hallway to apartment 301, the smell intensified and other notes were added. Leather, oatmeal, sweat. The smell of Spade surrounded me before I was even within knocking range of his door. I paused for a moment to deeply inhale the sweetly bitter tang of him. It had only been a month since my first visit to his apartment. "It's a brood den," he had said when he'd opened the door to me. The decor was death chic. The walls were painted scab red. An animal hide lay on the floor. His coffee table was a hewn slab of tree mounted on a hospital gurney. On the kitchen wall was a framed vintage morgue photo of a murdered woman. She looked like a sleeping hippie, but she had died 35 years before Woodstock, and hers was a dirt nap. Every wall had photographs of stiffs, crooks, DOAs, and in the bathroom, a black-and-white photo of 1940s cops in a men's room standing at a long sink, washing their hands of it all. Sin and absolution. This was the home of a Lutheran.